thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
Yeah, you are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with me, Wally. Will T and Ray are out, so I'm doing it solo. We have a big show tonight. Matter of fact, there's a lot going on in terms of DC sports. You got the Washington Wizards playing the Toronto Raptors in the first round. You got the Washington Capitals playing the first round against the Blue Jackets. So we got a lot going on in sports. But Will T's not here, but he usually says this thing. Hey, Will T, can you do it for me?
Let's get into our tradition, the pregame.
All right. Here are our topics. We have Redskins reporter Donna Hopkins from Tony McGee's Pro Football Plus will join me to discuss if the Redskins should make a play for Dez Bryant. At the 20-minute mark, we'll have Troy Halliburton from The Truth About It to talk about the Washington Wizards playoff series against the Toronto Raptors. At 8:30, we'll have WNST's Washington Capitals insider Ed Frankovic to talk about the Capitals' first-round Stanley Cup playoff matchup against the Blue Jackets. The Capitals are down 2-0. At 8:40, I'll talk about the NBA playoffs. Finally, at 8:50, Nats GM's Ryan Sullivan will join me to talk about the Washington Nationals. But first, right now, we have Donna Hopkins on the line. Donna, what's going on?
Come on, Wally. You know, it's always an interesting offseason when you're talking about the Redskins, but they've been kind of a little quiet.
Yeah, they've been low-key. You know, now everybody tries to link another player to the Washington Redskins. You know, okay, the Redskins should get this player. They should get that. Right now, it's Dez Bryant. Dez Bryant right now is hot in the market. That's the player that everybody wants to – well, it seems like a lot of Redskins fans want to go at. What do you think about Dez Bryant?
Can you believe – let me just say this, that the Redskins fans are almost like beating down the door saying, we want Dez Bryant here. True Redskins do not want Cowboys players, no matter who they are. So let me just say that. And haven't the Redskins had enough Dallas Cowboys players come here that did not work out? Marcus Washington.
That's a good point.
Well, not Marcus Washington. Washington.
I know what you're talking about. James Washington.
Yeah, James Washington. Mm-hmm. And then Deion Sanders when he was on his way out, and the list goes on, and they just signed a corner, that wasn't even one of him. It's almost like it's interesting that the Redskins got him. But let's go back to Dez Bryant. I'm not taking and I'm speaking literally on his ability. Now,
okay,
if they really wanted to keep Dez Bryant, they would have kept him. But it was a money situation that they did not keep him. And you know, over the last probably 2 or 3 years, his abilities as the receiver of what he could do, the speed, the getting open and all that, is not there anymore. But not taking away that he can still play this game and he can still help a team. But for the Washington Redskins, he could come in here and probably produce. But the thing about it is, I think that he would hurt this team more so. First of all, the Redskins are not going to pay him the money.
Oh, no.
And the Cowboys were so cold in letting him go at this stage of free agency when everybody else had already put out the money for the receivers and the big names. So if Dallas thought that they were going to not sign him back, they should have let him go at the beginning of free agency because his money options would have been better. But for the Redskins to even consider putting out the money that he probably wants and to end up signing him is too great for the other needs that they need on this team right here. So I would say that as much as the Redskins fans are rallying for the Redskins to sign Dez Bryant, they should run the other way because, I mean, literally they should, because the Redskins don't have the big names per se as far as Dez Bryant, and they bought, Pierre Garçon and DeSean Jackson, all those players. But you don't need named players to be productive in the NFL. And we know that the Redskins struggle in that passing area because they don't go down the field long anyway. So a Dez Bryant would be a good player within the 10-yard line mark because he does catch touchdowns and so forth. So, and that's an area in the red zone that the Redskins have problems. But when you look at their roster right now, you got a Jameson Crowder, which make sure the Redskins are going to have to decide on what they're going to do with him because it's his contract. Jamison is a young receiver, and Dez Bryant is at that last stage of his older at that last stage. He's smart, he's savvy as a receiver and all that, but we know that he's lost a step. Mm-hmm. So do you want to kind of like go with a player that you bring him in here and all the personality situations that come with the Dez Bryant too, and that you have to kind of like babysit him, you know, at different times? Do you want that kind of person here with all the baggage that comes with him being here? Not taking anything away from, he could help this team some, but I think that the Redskins will be okay with what they've got with the Alex Smith at the helm now, because Jamison Crowder, I mean, last year was just a year that he was injured.
That was a bad year.
Yeah, he was. Too. Yeah, a bad year. But we know that he's got talent because the year before, and it was injuries that prevented him. Mm-hmm. He was out of training camp, most of training camp in Richmond. So you lose that type of work in training camp, and then you're still nicked as you're coming into preseason. Then it was hard for him to get up to speed and be the kind of receiver that we know that he is. And Josh Dotson, this is a young receiver. Having a Dez Bryant come here, would that help him? It's just so many balls to go around. Mm-hmm. And, you know, everybody's wanting that. And Dez wants to be the starter. Well, you're not going to start for a lot of teams anymore. You're probably going to be the backup receiver right now. And so Dotson, will this hammer his development if you get a Dez Bryant that comes in here? And you're trying to develop a Dotson, get more balls in his hands, and then you've got another player that you got to think about because you know he wants the ball too. And then you know you got Brian Quick, and you know they got some receivers that Maurice Harris,
Robert Davis, the young kid they drafted out of Georgia State.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, I mean, and Jordan Reed, you know, you got Jordan Reed, as far as if he can stay healthy, will make a difference because that's another guy that's going to get a lot of balls thrown his way, too. Mm-hmm. So when you think about who they've got at the wide receiver position, they can manage with what they got, you know, and the draft is coming up. Mm-hmm. And if you're trying to build this team for the future, Dez Bryant is not going to be your future of the Redskins. He's going to be a person that comes in here for a year or maybe 2 years, and then you're trying to develop that receiving core again. So I would say you work with what you got right now because the receivers that they got right now can play, really. And Paul Richardson, you got him.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a guy that's really good, too. So you got Dotson, Richardson, and Crowder will probably be your core receivers, and then the other people working their way in. And you know, the Redskins need to get a running game, and they need to run the ball more, along with I think the development of the receivers to come. So I would say that Dez Bryant, like I said, you should run the other way. He does not need to come here in Washington, and I don't know these fans. I'm like, are you kidding me?
See,
that's the first thing they said when they
Donna,
him.
You know, we usually agree, right? This is where we're going to disagree. Because I'm one of them old school fans that kind of looks at Dez Bryant. Because when I look at this, okay, so I'm going to let you go to my way of thinking for Dez Bryant. So back in the 90s, early 90s, right, 91, 92, and even let's go within the last couple of seasons. But I mean, before when DeSean Jackson, Pierre Garçon left, those two guys, like, the Redskins are, to me, are missing that fiery wide receiver. Like, a guy with passion. Like, I love Dotson. We talked about Dotson. I love Dotson. I think Dotson has the ability to be a great wide receiver. I really do. I saw him in TCU.
But he's not going to be that vocal person.
He's not. And I think that the Redskins, they're missing that person. They're missing that person with the dog mentality. Garçon had that dog mentality. I've even said before that I prefer DeSean Jackson instead of Garçon. But when you look at this wide receiving core, everybody in the wide receiver room is like a nice guy. Like, they're just quiet. They're nice guys. They're guys like, you know what? You're a good guy. You know what I mean? You're quiet. You're not fiery. You're not complaining about anything on the sideline. You know a guy that I grew up watching. I love this dude, and Gary Clark. And I don't see no wide receiver on this team like a Gary Clark. And I'm not even talking about the talent, because Gary Clark was talented. He would go up the middle. He had the passion and everything. But his passion, nobody on this wide receiving core that we have now has that type of dog in him. And when you look at Dez Bryant, I agree. Like, I've always criticized. I'm not going to be hypocritical about Dez Bryant. I've always stated it. One, Dez Bryant's route running is atrocious to me. Like, it's atrocious. But what I do like about Dez Bryant that none of these wide receivers bring to the table is that when he gets his hands on the ball, it's got, you got five, you need 3 to 5 people to bring that man down, because his passion and his want to, like, to get the extra yard, this team don't have.
But look, are you remembering the old Dez Bryant or the current Dez Bryant? Because the person that you're talking about is that person that it used to be. I mean, in the red zone, I would still think his abilities are still there. But Dez does not get open. If you watched his abilities the last 2 years, he was not the same Dez Bryant. Oh. And I think that we got to remember that. I hear what you're saying about the dog mentality. You need that. I just need somebody to be able to catch the ball. No. You can be quiet. Mm-hmm. But the thing with Dez is that you have to remember the player that he is right now. Mm-hmm. He's not going to get off the line of scrimmage and or lose anybody or anything like that. Mm-hmm. If you're going to use him, it's going to be in the red zone situations like that. That's where his strength is right now. But do you want to sacrifice all the other receivers that you got coming? See, the problem to me is it's not the receivers here in Washington. It's the problem. It's their offense and their offensive scheme.
Yeah.
You're like Gary and I was talking during the last season. He said the Redskins are not going to go long most of the time. We kept saying they need to open up this offense and mix it up and go long. They're going 5, 10 yards, 15 at max. That's not going to open up your offense. And so the receivers that they got right now with the Alex Smith, what would Alex Smith bring to this team that Cousins didn't bring to this team as far as offensively and being able to utilize these receivers that's there right now? And guess what? You might get a diamond in the rough out of the draft. You're building for the future.
You mean, no, I agree. No, I agree. Like, I've never, like, so my thing about Dez Bryant, and we just got a tweet from my man George, listening to the show. He said, Donna's right. So I want you to make sure you know that someone says, Donna, you're right. but, like, my thing about Dez Bryant, I agree with everything you said. I told you, I think his route running is bad. I'm going to say that. I think he doesn't have the same speed as me. He doesn't get off the line of scrimmage as well as he used to. But the thing that he brings to the table, and which I do respect with Jay Gruden, I think a lot of people don't respect Jay Gruden's offensive mind compared to others. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, he made Kirk, and even with Sean McVay too, they made Kirk Cousins money. They made Colt McCoy look like a good quarterback to a point that everybody complains about Colt McCoy being a starting quarterback. Jay Gruden can get people open. You know, he can do that. And I like what you said about Alex Smith. Alex Smith too, at the same time, is a guy that you'll see. I think you'll see. You'll see Jordan Reed ball out because Alex Smith's always played well with tight ends. You'll see Vernon Davis ball out. And you'll see Crowder. This is what I do believe. I think Crowder with Alex Smith is going to be even better. I think with Alex Smith, Crowder is going to be even better. I agree with you. I get your point. I guess this is my thing. I get your point with, like, don't hinder the other wide receivers. But this is my thing, too, at the same time. If you letting Dez Bryant hinder you, then you ain't an alpha dog to me. Like, you can't – if Dez Bryant is going to bother your progression – then you don't got it to me. And I think, I have all faith in Dotson. I have it. So I think Dotson should be good if Dez Bryant is on the field with them anyway.
But I'm not talking about the players per se letting Dez hinder them. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about the offensive play calling is going to only be able to put a ball in so many receivers' hands.
I'm with you.
So the problem in the last years with their running game over the years is that until Everett Morris left, Alfred Morris was the running back. He was going to get at least 20 touches a game. But when they started dancing around with, okay, you're going to come in there, whatever. Mm-hmm. It was like three different running backs back there that they never got a feel where you didn't even get a feel of the running game. So if you got the wide receiver position that way where you're trying to get the ball to everybody, it's going to disrupt the offense a little bit where you're trying to figure out this guy is our guy, whatever. Like Deshaun Jackson, do you think he was going to come in and out of the offense a lot when he was in Philadelphia?
No, but
you got to be able to if you're trying to develop these players to be your wide receivers to get, because Dotson, my gosh, last year we got to see flashes of how great he can be.
Yeah,
and then Crowder, we already know from the season before. So if you're developing these players to be that, and they've got better speed than Dak Bryant does right now, and then you got the wide receiver. They use their tight end so much in Washington that with Jordan Reed, if you got a healthy Jordan Reed, let's just paint a pretty picture that if we could ever have Jordan Reed be healthy for a whole season again, and then you got Dotson, Crowder, and Richardson, what do you need more for?
That's true.
You got the core of your receivers right there that can create problems for a defense.
I'm not high on Richardson. So are you high on Richardson? Because I don't. So I look at Richardson just like everybody looked at Terrell Pryor. Because I don't know enough about Richardson, to be honest with you. I've seen him play, and I know there's a small sample size, but in the grand scheme of things, like, I can't hold my hat on Paul Richardson. Because I'll put it this way. We don't even know if he's better than Terrell Pryor, because Terrell Pryor, at least in Cleveland, put 1,000 yards and hit a 1,000-yard season. Richardson hasn't even done that.
Well, look, Terrell Pryor did what for Washington last year?
Nothing.
I mean, he was brilliant. I saw him in training camp down in Richmond. I was like, oh, man, he was eating. I mean, he was eating up the corners and everything. Breland, he was like, you know, that's the reason why I got in fight down there.
Yeah, I heard
and
about
I was
that.
Like, oh, man, he's going to be awesome. and then get on the field during regular season and came bust the great. So come on. It's almost like, you know, these Richardson, I heard great things about him. Mm. They said that, you know, that you're, when a lot of people heard, even Dallas fans heard that Richardson was coming to Washington, they said, oh, man, wish he would have come here.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he's got more of an upside. The thing about Pryor, I'm not going to, you know, take away his abilities to become a good receiver because he's a big target and whatever, mm-hmm. and he's still learning. I think people have to remember that he's trying to be developed into a receiver, and he doesn't like to come across the middle, and it was like, oh, nah, I'm dancing right here because I ain't trying to get hit and cream. But he's still learning the position, and as soon as he learns it where he's really comfortable in it, he will be a good target for somebody. He just did not work well in the Washington offense for many reasons, not just him, but coaching scheme and quarterback the whole nine yards. And I think that the Redskins offense could be much better, which, like you said, the coaching staff made Kirk be better because they knew his abilities as far as they played it safe with him to a certain degree.
Mm-hmm. No,
but Alex Smith, they can be a little wide open more so with him.
No, I totally agree. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. We have Donna Hopkins from Tony McGee's Pro Football Plus. Donna, before I let you go, you have wonderful things going on for you, especially with this book and whatnot. Can you speak about this book?
My book is coming out on this coming Thursday, April the 19th. Been writing it for the last 8 years because I wanted to give people a good measurement of what it takes to get to the other side of whatever you may go through. And that's the name of my book, is Getting to the Other Side of Victory. So many times, no matter, you know, people go through things in life, whether it's sickness, loss of a parent, illness, you know, whatever it may be, the job, you know, divorce and all of those things, loss of kids and, you know, those, that they get stuck in moving forward after they've gone through so many things. So I always believe that no matter what you go through, you can always get to the other side of getting past those things. You just have to learn what you have to do to tap in to get into the other side. So I believe this book that I wrote is going to be able to help a lot of people get through anything that they may go through in life. So I'm excited for it to come out. You know, the boxes were delivered to my door, and sometimes when I look at the fact that I wrote a book, it's a shock in itself, because if people knew my story as far as, and this is the thing, if they knew my story about what I've gone through, they'll realize that this book was written first for me to get through some of life's misfortunes in getting to the other side. So I'm hoping this book will be one that people will pick up, and they could go to my website now at, you know, DonnaJHopkins.com, and it's also on Amazon now, so they could reach out there. And I believe that people should pick that book, if not for themselves. Everybody knows somebody that's gone through something or may need to have that kick, that inspirational kick, or that kick in life to get them going again and moving forward, because You should never cheat yourself out of living life to the fullest.
Well, Donna, thanks again for being on. You know, I'm going to be at the launch party, so you already know. Appreciate you, Donna.
All right, cool, Vince. All right.
Donna.
And no Daz Bryant.
No Daz Bryant. All right, Donna.
All right.
All right,
bye.
Again, that's Donna Hopkins from the Tony McGee's for Tony McGee's Pro Football Plus. Great lady. Awesome lady. Really appreciate her and whatnot. But it's time for a break. When we get back from break, we're going to talk about the NBA playoffs. The Wizards are down 1-0 to the Raptors, looking like they're about to be down 2-0. I'll have my man Troy Halliburton from The Truth About It to join me. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene for ages. You dig? Deuces.
Looking for sports here in the Tri-City area like you haven't heard before? Check me, yours truly, Mike Knox and the Solon Sports, weekdays 5 to 7 p.m. right here on Fox Sports Radio, 1340 a.m. Hopewell.
I got loyalty, got royalty inside my DNA. Quarter piece, got war and peace inside my DNA. I got power, poison, pain, and joy inside my DNA. I got hustle, though, ambition, flow inside my DNA. Was born like this, is born like this, immaculate conception. I transform like this, perform like this, which yells you a new weapon. I don't contemplate, I meditate, then off your head. This that put the kids to bed. This that I got realness. I just kill shit, cause it's in my DNA. I got millions, I got riches building in my DNA. Dog, I got evil that rot inside my DNA. I got off, I got trouble, some heart inside my DNA.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Sound, Wally. My boys, Will T and Ray, they out on me, man. They out on me. They supposed to be here, man. They out. I'm here solo. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. Just search the Urban Sports Team. Make sure you rate us and leave us a comment. The Washington Wizards ain't looking good right now. I thought they bring a home for the city, and not doing it right now. Right now, we have Truth About It's Troy Halliburton. He covers the Washington Wizards. What's up, Troy, man?
What's up, man? How you guys doing today?
We good, man. But right now I'm solo, man. You know, usually I'm not.
I'm
solo today, man. Let's not talk about Jahlil Okafor, all right? Let's not do that today, okay? Let's not do that.
The halftime of this Wizards game right now, man, it's looking very bleak in Wizards land.
It does, man. I was watching game one. I'm thinking to myself, game two, they're going to come with the passion. They're going to learn how to play the high screen role because that was horrible in game one. And in this game, the only bright spot is Ty Lawson.
Honestly, you might be right about that. I mean, Mike Scott is he's not playing for champions.
Yeah.
I mean, Ty Lawson is definitely a bright spot to, you know, be logging his first NBA minutes of the entire season. Mm-hmm. Fresh off a plane from China, you know, he's looking, I think he got, 3 points and 6 assists in the first half. So, you know, honestly, the Wizards, they come out and they look like they're playing lackluster. They have the intensity of a preseason game when, I mean, their season is kind of on the line right now. It's kind of perplexing.
Yeah, I mean, it's 58-76. Game one, you know, obviously, you look in game one, guys were hitting 3-point shots at Toronto that you weren't expecting, you right? So you look in that game, it was like, okay, it was a little different from the norm. But you look in a game two, you would think, all right, we got to steal one. And like you said, it's like the intensity isn't there. You know, Gortat missing layups. I mean, come on, man. This is it. Like, you steal this, then you bring a hope to the city. You got an opportunity to take 2 at home and be up 3-1.
Yeah, I know. The thing is, I'm not so much as even worried about what the Wizards aren't doing on offense.
Mm-hmm.
I'm worried about their lack of the defensive coverage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Toronto in game one, Toronto came out and they hit a playoff record for them, a franchise record, 16 threes in that game. And in this game, first half, they already hit 11 threes.
I know.
I don't understand exactly why it is that the Wizards players, you know, when they're running those high pick and rolls at the top of the key,
yeah.
But I think they're not getting back to the shooters in the proper manner. And, I mean, they're just – I mean, the shots that Toronto hitting, I mean, these are like
– open shots.
Layup line warm-up shots.
So do you think they should go small? Like, do you think they should go small?
I think the best solution would be for them to go small with Markieff at center and Mike Scott at power forward.
Mm-hmm.
You rotate in Oubre and Porter – you know, at the four,
mm-hmm.
and you know, you can rotate the guards because we've got good guard play from the backup from Satoransky and Ty Lawson. You know, I think that if they go small and they're able to, you know, kind of hedge hard on those pick and rolls and not allow those 3-point shooters to just kind of roam open,
mm-hmm.
I would force the ball to Valanciunas and make them have to beat us down low because, as you see, Toronto has already missed a number of shots around the paint. I mean, we also have to rebound, too, because every time they miss, they keep getting the offensive rebounds and putbacks. So, you know, that's kind of making the comeback attempt futile.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene. We have Troy Halliburton from Truth About It on the line. So, Troy, does John Wall and Otto Porter, they look healthy to you?
Do I think that they're healthy?
Do they look healthy to you? And like within
the I would say John Wall doesn't look as healthy. He doesn't look like the explosive John Wall that we've all come to know and love.
Mm-hmm.
Otto Porter, Otto Porter was never really, you know, that much of an explosive athlete, so I can't really say whether he looks healthy or not.
Mm-hmm.
I know that he's getting the jumpers every time they run a pin down for him.
Yeah.
He's hitting his jump shot. But, you know, they're not really running that play.
Explain why that's not happening. Because I see that all the time. And I'm always wondering to myself, like, that play is always open when you run it. But why are you not running that often? Because Otto is a high-quality jump shooter.
Yep. I think that the reason why it's twofold as to why that's not happening as often as Wizards fans would like. I think that, first of all, Otto Porter bears some of the responsibility because he's not as aggressive as you would like a, you know, third option or a max player, quote-unquote max player, to be at demanding the ball. But, I mean, some of that also falls on Scott Brooks and John Wall as the point guard because, you know, they have to call more plays because a lot of teams have been doing this throughout the regular season, and Toronto's doing this right now where they're loading the strong side for Wall and Beal. And they're leaving the weak side action open. So they have to be able to trust their teammates and kick the ball across the court so that, you know, you can get Porter and Marquise running a two-man game on the weak side.
I agree. I actually think that because Toronto's switching everything on picks and the Wizards are getting favorable matchups, especially with Keith. They switch and there's situations where Lowry's on Keith. I think they should exploit that even more. They don't do that enough. They're not even doing that enough. You're speaking of Coach Brooks. I know it's early. I mean, it's two games, early enough. How would you judge his performance so far as the head coach in this postseason?
I think it is early, but I see some fault in his coaching strategy so far. I mean, in the first game, he played Wall and Beal entirely too many minutes. And so you have a player like Thomas Adoransky, who has proven himself over the course of the season to be a reliable player. And, you know, he averaged 22 minutes a game in the regular season. And in game one, he only played 11 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that that's a coaching strategy that when you're delegating the minutes, and I think that that's a fault. And, you know, otherwise, I think that, you know, I can't blame him for what's going on defensively because apparently, you know, he's running a defensive strategy. He's telling them, you know, not to let these three-point shooters open, and they're still allowing it to happen. So I can't blame the coach for the players not executing his game plan. But, like I said, he is at fault for some of his minutes distribution and, you know, who he is that he's putting on the court.
No, I agree with that. I totally agree with that 100%. Before we let you go, how can our listeners check you out? I mean, check your content out.
Man, the best way to check my content out, I post most of my stuff on truthaboutit.net. My Twitter handle is at Troy Halliburton, TROYHALIBUR. I post literally every article that I write. I post it on there. I go to a lot of the Wizards games. I cover. I go to the pregame press conference.
You sure do.
Talk to Scott Brooks and try to pull my iPhone out and record that as much as possible. But, you know, trying to give good Wizards content out there for the people who are diehard fans and they want to know more about the team.
And you do that, sir. You do it well. And you give me a hard time with Jahlil Okafor. All right, man. I appreciate you being on, man.
I appreciate that, Wally.
All right, man.
Hopefully the Wizards will mount a comeback that is as smooth as this conversation.
Hey, I hope so. And I can get you on next week so this team doesn't get swept so we can have at least a couple weeks. All right, Troy.
All right, Wally. All right. I appreciate that.
All right. Thank you, man. Again, that's my man, Troy Halliburton from Truth About It. Cool guy, great guy, man. Again, man, he covers the Washington Wizards. He does a great job covering them. Hopefully, again, the Wizards come back. Hopefully, they come back. I don't know if they will, but I hope they do. All right, the Washington Capitals are down 2-0 to the Columbus Blue Jackets. I'm talking about the series. After the break, we'll have Ed Frankovic from WNXT to talk about why the Caps are down 2-0. You listen to Urban Sports saying, for ages, you dig? Deuces.
Yo, Percocet, Miley Percocet, Percocet. cups. Toast up with the game. From food stamps to a whole nother domain. Got it. Out the bottle. I'm a living proof. Super. Ain't compromising. Have a million on the coup. Gang, gang. Drug houses. Well, looking like a roof. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Graduated. I was overdue. I'm a pink money. Money. I can barely move. Barely. Ask about me. I'm gon' bust a move. There you go. Red James. 33 chains. Chanel. Cruising Biscayne. Hit fire. Tide bump. Yeah. That's a liability. Big fire. Hit the gas. Boosting my adrenaline, be it fine. Percocet, yeah. Molly Percocet, be it fine. Percocet, yeah. Molly Percocet, be it fine. Represent, yeah. Gotta represent. Gang, gang. Chasing shit, yeah. Never chasing, never chasing. Be it fine. Mask on, yeah. Your mask off, be it fine. Mask on, yeah. Your mask off, be it fine. Percocet, yeah. Molly Percocet, be it fine. Chasing shit, yeah. Never chasing, never chasing. No. Photo maybe. I drive anything, yeah. Buy my range, yeah. Make them go insane, yeah. DJ LCLC.
I got a halo. I level up every time God says so. Shoot on Pharaoh. Looking like Pancho, looking like Pedro. Street from Tarzan. 10 dividend go grow when I say grow. Kung Fu Kenny with the mic's touch. Ain't no penny that I don't touch. Y'all my enemy bite on dust. Ain't no talking when it's fatal. Having hard, I can't tell. Half of y'all might need help. I might fall in Rodale. I might ball in Australia. I might call a folk rail. All I ask go unveil.
Wind blows in the windows and I smack in with a big glow. She got me like info. Know who it's in for.
Plan them. Gotta look at self and ask what happened. How y'all let a conscious go commercial while only making conscious albums? How y'all let the braids on TV? How y'all let the hood at the table? Now y'all don't even know how to rate them. Looking like I'm a creative player. Everybody who didn't pay respect, gotta fess up now and pay your debts. Gotta lay something down to make a threat. Gotta say something now, don't hold your breath. How you mean I ain't floating? I got the salt, got the potion. I got them all like potions and emotions. I put career in the oceans and put the body in the ocean. I made an oath when my told me to go in. Then he died on a cold bench. All my old friends living life on a slow end. Gotta keep rolling. It's due.
It's due.
I done fucked so much I can't sleep. I done fucked so much I'm retired. I'm about to live my life through day three. She said she broke down when Prince died.
It's all right.
My hair down, Prince lived to me.
I am.
Get your ass up and be inspired.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Team with me, Wally. Will T and Ray are out. Well, right now we're waiting on my man Ed Frankovic from WNXT. He's the Washington Capitals insider. Waiting for him at the moment. But yeah, big news that this for Game 3, the Caps and the Blue Jackets are tied at 0 in the first period. Hope he's playing well. Grubauer didn't do the job. You know, that's a guy that I actually thought should have been starting. The guy that I thought that Deserta had the slot, thought he would play better than Hopi, and you know, Caps had 2-goal leads in both games, and came up with a 2-0 loss in both the games at home, and I think, in my opinion, you know, the moment probably got to Grubauer a little bit. You know, obviously, in my opinion, once the game got tight, you saw him give up goals that he shouldn't have given up. Now the Caps defense hasn't been the best the whole year. The defense hasn't been the best, hasn't really helped out the goaltending. But at the same time, you know, you got 2 goals in game two by the great eight, 2 goals and 2 power play goals. And your guy couldn't produce. Ovi produced. And that's what you need. You need your stars to produce, but you need a goaltender to at least make, you know, common stops and not choke up. And Grubauer did that. So, you know, judging Barry Trotz off of that, I can't say he made the wrong decision, to be honest with you, because I think that was the right decision. I think you go with the hot goaltender. We've seen in Stanley Cup playoffs in the past that you ride it out with the hot goaltender. Philip Grubauer was the hot goaltender. And, you know, now you have to lean on to your ace, your stud, the guys you paid the big money. If you want to be, in my opinion, the Brodeurs, the Patrick Waugh's of the world, like, you know what I mean, the Belfours of the world. If you want to be that type of goaltender, you know, your team's down 2-0. It's your opportunity right now to shut things down. You need to show your teammates that you are that dog. And I talked about Dez Bryant being that dog, but you're gonna show your teammates that you are that dog. This is the chance. This is the opportunity. Hopi, everybody needs that moment. This is your moment.
You know what I mean? If I was a teammate of Braden Hopi and he was pissed off about not playing in this game, and you see he's playing well now. If he was pissed off about not playing in this game, I would yoke him up and tell him this, dude, this is your moment. This is your time to shine. This is it. And right now he's shining. He's got a shutout right now. Hopefully the Caps can put a goal up. Looks like we're going to be missing. I'm going to be missing out on Matt Ed tonight. I'm sure, I hope everything's good with him. But, yeah, I have all belief that the Caps will win tonight. We need the great eight to get a Stanley Cup championship. I hate that greatness is not appreciated. You know what I mean? And when a guy is great as Alexander Ovechkin, who's done it for years and still – at this level, leading the league in goal scoring. A guy who can consistently do this. Like, he deserves this. He deserves a Stanley Cup run. He deserves a legitimate Stanley Cup run. Hopefully, Hopi can bring that for him and bring that to the Grade 8. And also, again, and bring the Grade 8 a championship. But it's about time to hit a break up. I'll dive back into the NBA playoffs after the break. You listen to the Urban Sports thing for ages. You dig? Deuces.
If you wanted to, these expensive, these is red bottoms, these is bloody shoes. Hit the school, I can get them both, I don't wanna choose. And I'm quick, cutting off, so don't get comfortable. Look, I don't dance now, I make money move. Say, I don't gotta dance, I make money move. If I see you now, speak, that means I don't fuck with you. I'm a boss, you a worker, bitch, I make bloody moves. Now she say, she gon' do what or who? Let's find out and see. Cardi B, you know where I'm at, you know where I be. You in the club, just to party, I'm there, I get paid a fee. I be in and out them banks so much, I know they tired of me. Honestly, don't give a f*** about who in front of me. Drop 2 mixtapes in 6 months, we're breaking as hard as me. I don't bother with these, don't let these bother me. They see pictures, they say goals, bitch, I'm who they tryna be. Look, I might just chill on some babe, I might just chill with your boo, I might just spill on your babe. My f*** feel like a lake, he wanna swim with his face. I'm like, okay, I let him get what he want. He buy me Yves Saint Laurent and the new wave. When I go fast as a horse, I got the trunk in the front. I'm the hottest in the street, know you probably heard of me. Got a bag and fix my teeth, hope you know it ain't cheap. And I pay my mama bills, I ain't got no time to chill. Think these chicks be mad at me, they baby father run a bill. Say, low, you can f*** with me if you wanted to. These expensive, these is red bottoms, these is bloody shoes. Hit the school, I can get them both, I don't wanna choose. And I'm quick, cutting off, so don't get comfortable. Look, I don't dance now, I make money move. Say, I don't gotta dance, I make money move. If I see you now, speak, that means I don't f*** with you. I'm a boss, you a worker, bitch, I make bloody move. If you a fool, you get popped, you a goofy, you a op. Don't you come around my way, you can't hang around my block. And I just check my account, turns out I'm rich. I put my
head in. You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with myself, Wally, Ray, and Will are out. Depressing. My guys are out. Those are my dudes, man. They out. All right, check out the Football Garbage Time podcast at www.footballgarbagetime.com. Ray and I will be on their show Thursday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just make sure you check it out. We'll tweet out the link and post it on our Facebook page as well. We'll talk about the NFL draft. We made up a mock draft as a unit. So, yeah, make sure you check it out. All right, tonight, what's on the NBA docket in terms of NBA playoffs? We already talked about the Washington Wizards. Tonight's games are the Bucks versus the Celtics, and the Bucks versus the Celtics. And I'm gonna look up the score, and also, the Pelicans versus the Trailblazers. I'm gonna start with the Pelicans versus Trailblazers and get to the Bucks versus Celtics last. My prediction in that game is I expect the Trailblazers to, you know, to win this game. Dame Lillard and C.J. McCollum didn't really have their A-plus game. Dame Lillard had 18 points. We're talking about his prolific 20-point score. C.J. McCollum had 19. But both the sad thing about it, both of them combined were 13 for 41 from the field. That's not good. That's not good, period. We're talking about efficient playoff scoring. That wasn't it. Anthony Davis, we all saw him. He went crazy in that game. He scored 35 points, had 14 boards, 4 block shots. He looked like Anthony Davis, the kid that we saw at Kentucky, the guy who did everything. Anthony Davis nowadays scores the basketball, and he scores at a high level, and the man's a monster. I'm not saying anything about that, but in terms of the block shots and everything with it, Anthony Davis was a complete dog in game one. In game two, I expect Anthony Davis to still be a dog, but I do expect that the Portland Trailblazers to win the game and have a split 1-1 going in New Orleans, having to try to take one in New Orleans. But what the Trailblazers will have to do in that game is they're going to have to feature Nurk a little bit more. 3-for-7 isn't good. Like 3-for-7 against, in terms of attempts, I'm not putting that on him. He needs more attempts. He has to get Anthony Davis in foul trouble. You got to try to kind of make Anthony Davis work. You can't just have Anthony Davis scoring, dominating the game. That's not good enough. You need Anthony Davis exhausted. So utilize Nurk. He's one of the better bigs in basketball. Utilize him. 11 points, 11 rebounds, but still three for seven, and he got 11 points. But still, he needs more attempts. We know Dame Lillard's going to score the basketball. We know CJ McCollum's going to score the basketball. You need three. Feature him. At least you know you're making Anthony Davis work. So in my prediction, how I'm going to go with it, I think that, again, the Portland Trailblazers take game two, and it goes back to New Orleans 1-1. Right now, let's look at the Boston Celtics Bucks game. Right now, the Boston Celtics are up on the Bucks by 11. They're up 22-33. You're looking at Giannis, in game one, Giannis had 35, 13 rebounds, 7 assists. Giannis was Giannis. Like, Giannis is a guy who does everything. But what happened in that game is you had people in game one going clutch for the Boston Celtics. Rozier was clutch, hitting the crossover on Bledsoe and hitting the three to go up three. That was amazing. That was a great play by Rozier. Then you're looking at what Tatum was doing. Tatum and Brown. You saw these two dudes ball in summer league, and you saw the work they put in summer league together in terms of a young tandem. What they did was impressive, and what they did in game one's impressive. Not having a Kyrie Irving, not having a Gordon Hayward. Obviously, Gordon Hayward was out for the whole year, but after game one, the first game of the season. But still, not having those vets who were supposed to be the superstars. But I'm gonna tell you a guy that was the dog for them in game one. It's Al Horford. Al Horford did what he's supposed to do. He took Giannis in the block and said, "Dude, I'm about to, this is barbecue chicken." He told Giannis, "This is barbecue chicken." Al Horford had, Al Horford had like 24, like I want to say 24 points. Al Horford had 24. Al Horford had 24 points. He was only 5-for-8 from the field. So most of his shot points came from the field, from the free throw line. He was 13-for-14 from the free throw line, 12 rebounds. But what he did was he didn't settle just for taking threes. He had the ball. Giannis was playing the 4 and the 5 at times, put Giannis in the block and went to work. And that's what you have to do. Again, I was just talking about Nurk against Anthony Davis. You got to make your stars work. He made Giannis work. Giannis eventually got fouled out in the game in overtime. Why did that happen? Because Al Horford put Giannis in the block, and he picked up on fouls. He picked up petty fouls because, again, you're looking at the guy, Giannis, in the grand scheme of things, is a small forward. He's long, in terms of height and length as a power forward, but in terms of girth, he can't mess with no Al Horford in the block. So I'm going to go with the Boston Celtics in Boston to go 2-0, and pretty much I have that series going 5. I think Boston is the better team, is the better coach team. Though I do think in terms of talent, Milwaukee has more talent than Boston. But in terms of, you watch Brad Stevens as being the best coach in college. The best coach in the NBA at the moment. Boston is, their sets are better. They feature their players right now. Look, they just hit a screen roll, Moreau roll into the basket, 20 with a Larkin. They're up 13 right now, 22-35. This Boston team, regardless of what anybody says, we wanted to play Boston in the first round. They're a great coach team with guys who are ready to hustle. They're gritty. They have great basketball IQ, and they're well coached. So Boston, to me, takes this game, and I expect Boston to win the series in, like I said, 5. I'm going to say 5. I'm going to be fair. I think Boston takes it in 5. But, if you listen to the show, what we usually do in terms of our basketball segment.
We like to see if folks go hard in the paint. You know what I mean? And then what going hard in the paint's about, it's about picking a player that you think is going to ball out in a particular portion of a season. So, right. So I'm not going to do all that in terms of tonight's games. I'm going to pick a player that I think that's going to ball out tonight. Yeah, I'm going to play who's going to ball out tonight. I'm going to use the Portland game because this Boston game is going on right now. So, Walker, I need you to kind of like go right now. Walker, can you do this for me?
Walker, I go hard in the paint. Walker, yeah, you stankin'. Yeah, what the thinkin'? I won't die, but it's the way. Broad yard, broad day.
Yeah, all right. I had to get my modes on. I'm sorry, y'all. I had to go with my mode. All right. So I talked about him. I'm going with Nurk. I think Nurk's going to go hard in the paint. He had a bad. I don't care. It's a bad game. 3-for-7 is a bad game for a center. You gotta lick your fingers. It's gotta be barbecue chicken. With you a skilled big, it's gotta be barbecue chicken. I'm going Nurk, going hard in the paint. I think he's gonna give me 15-20 against Anthony Davis in the New Orleans Pelicans. He's gonna get 10 boards. Gonna drop some threes, and he's gonna give you some good no look passes. Nurk is a skilled big man. I got him going hard in the paint. He got to. Like, we're talking about a guy who can hoop. See, I'm hyped for him. Like, I think I should be in the playoff game. Norik's going hard in the paint. On Twitter, in terms of our predictions for the first round for tonight, my man Black Martian on Twitter 333 has the Celtics winning tonight and the Blazers. Great minds think alike, man. I got the same exact thing. The same exact thing. So anyway, man, we about to go to break. When we get back from break, we're going to have this question. Are the Nationals still the best team in the NL East? You're listening to Urban Sports Saying for ages. You dig? Deuces. You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with myself, Wally. Again, my boys, Will T and Ray, they out, man. They out. Hurts my feelings that these dudes are out on me. That's terrible, man. Just terrible. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, make sure you rate us and leave us a comment. I'm all about comments because, you know what? Teamwork makes the dream work. But anyway, right now, we have Ryan Sullivan from Nats GM on the line. Ryan, what's good, my man?
Well, I guess I didn't get a case of that Wizards, Caps, and Nationals-itis like your boys with Ray and the other fellas, right?
Yeah, Will, I know, right? Leah, you know how people are. It's obviously a big town in the city in terms of you have the Nats, the Wizards, the Capitals. It's a big night for all of them. So, It's
trifling. I come on this show and Ray is nowhere to be found.
This is very consistent. He's done this before, right?
He's never nervous purpose when I'm coming on the show. I think he's shook.
Hey, Ryan, I agree with you. I think he is shook. I think
Ray needs to start calling me Bob Deep because he's shook once when I'm around.
I love it. So, Ryan, the Nats, I believe, they're up 3-0. Am I correct?
I think so. I dipped out to make this phone call.
Oh, you're so polite.
3-0 last I saw.
Yeah, so 3-0 last time I checked. After last night's comeback against the Mets, and you know they're 8-9, and tonight looks like they have a good opportunity to win this game against a tough pitcher in Wheeler. How big is this series to you?
You know, if you always try to identify it at the time how big it is, you probably never guess it quite right. But it's a huge series. I mean, you know, obviously the Mets starting the series, I believe, are 5 games ahead of us with a home 3-game series. They were playing great baseball. I think they started 12-2, and you know, we're really struggling right now. I mean, I think we were 7-9 coming into the series, and we were down 6-1 in the eighth last night, playing lousy baseball for the better part of the entire season. Maybe if you want to take out the Cincinnati series, it was a huge win, and you know, I'm hoping that this will be the win that you know we talk about in 2 or 3 months when I'm on the show again, and we're saying this was the turnaround, and everything kind of picked up from here. But you never know it until you know probably later in the year. But it was a hell of a win. I mean, it made us now 5 back rather than 7 back, and get us to 8-9 rather than 7-10. I mean, just those things are big, and the Mets are healthy right now and playing pretty good baseball. Mm-hmm. So you don't want to get too far behind. I mean, I hate that, you know, it's early because, yes, it is early, but these wins also still matter. So, I hate that cliche, but we need to start seeing some better baseball, I think, is probably the thing that it would be good to say.
No, I agree with you. I think at times when you look at certain teams, when you're going against certain teams, it's too early. But when you look at – Because like you just said, the Mets are healthy right now. When you look at the Mets and their pitching staff, from like 1-5, they have quality arms, like young, vibrant arms. Even like Harvey, arguably is their worst arm. Like it's like the worst arm there, and he's a guy that has tasted success. When you see a team like that roll, like what was it, 10 in a row or some 10 in a row at the time? When you see a team like that go on that type of streak, like yeah, I think you should be concerned a little bit, even if it's early in the season.
Well, it's just like in a horse race. It's one thing to let somebody get ahead of you a little bit because you can close on them, but you don't want to let them get too far out ahead of you or else you can't close on them.
Exactly.
So it's the same, you know, it's that thing. You don't want to let them get too far out ahead. And the point I really, the bigger point I want to make is just the terrible baseball they've been playing. It was nice to see a little bit of fire and some passion at the end of the game last night and get a win. You know, I mean, this was a big series, and we didn't see a lot of fire in the first 6-7 innings last night until a big rally. So it was nice to see that. We've seen some fire in the game tonight so far. I know it's only in the sixth when I turned it off, so no spoilers. But it just seems like we're playing a better brand of baseball, and we're playing with a little bit more fire in our belly and some other places as well. So
do you think that not having, like, the slow start is probably because they don't have Daniel Murphy in the lineup?
I think that's a huge part of it. I don't think we're talking about it enough. I think it also really hurts. Rendon's been hurt for 2 or 3 games now. Adam Eaton's been hurt now, what, a week and a half? I mean, basically since opening day. So he's missed a great deal of time. And, you put all those things together, it's, you know, we built this team with a lot of depth, and already we're seeing 3 of our top 4 hitters out, you know, aside from Bryce Harper. So we're already kind of pushing the limits of that depth a little bit. But yes, to answer your question, Murphy's been a huge loss, even though Kendrick has played so well.
He has played well, too.
His bat is going to be so valuable in the lineup. It's going to give Davey Martinez a much more difficult time batting Zimmerman fourth in the lineup with how poorly he's playing.
Mm-hmm.
If you can get Murphy back, and even though you don't want to double up lefties and so forth, once you get Rendon back, once you get Murphy back, maybe you can go, you know, Murphy at the 2, Harper 3, Rendon 4, and put Zimmerman down the lineup, and you don't see much of an effect on you. So
you're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. Right now we have Ryan Sullivan from Nats GM on the line. So Ryan, right now the game is 3-2. Nats are up in the sixth inning. So speaking of Zimmerman, do you contribute Zimmerman's so slow start to not playing spring, or do you just think that last year wasn't the norm? Last year was something that was just we shouldn't expect that again from Ryan Zimmerman at this point in time in his career.
Well, I'll throw a cheap plug out there. I wrote a column from Hassan on Friday talking about the Zimmerman issue and giving him some criticism for the fact that he didn't play spring games and was playing in the backfields against minor leaguers rather than facing major league competition, and I'm saying that he deserves some criticism for that. I mean, you know, you don't get prepared to hit major league pitching when you're facing minor leaguers. You know, you don't get ready for main time ball if you're playing against amateurs. So it's just a step in a level of competition. But I'm also starting to worry that what we're seeing from Zimmerman is what he is a little bit. I mean, ever since his really fast start last year, if you can take out the first 45 games or so last year, he's been quite an ordinary player. And mm-hmm. he's 34 years of age, going to turn it if he isn't already. And he's had a hell of a lot of injuries, as we know, and unfortunately we've kind of experienced with him in his 14 years here in D.C. So I'm worried that some of this slow start, I'm hoping that it's the spring and that maybe he's got a little something going on and his timing's a little off, but I'm starting to get worried that it's a bigger, longer-term problem that, you know, maybe this is just kind of who he is. Not batting 100
but exactly.
Maybe he's just more of a average hitter at first base rather than, you know, a 36 home run difference making cleanup hitter, you know, one of the best, you know, 15, 20 hitters in the National League type of a player.
So obviously, you know, comparisons are going to happen. Davey was the manager last year. So far, what is your assessment of Dave Martinez as the Nationals manager?
It's been really hard. You know, my assessment would be so much different if this team was 12-5 rather than 8-9 or whatever it is. So, but I guess that's part of the problem is, you know, they've started off sluggishly and you don't see a lot of fire from this team. And Davey, except for losing his mind in that one Saturday game a couple of weeks ago, doesn't show a lot of fire, seems to be more of an easygoing type of a guy. And this team seems to be, you know, not playing with a little bit of the passion and the fire that we need them to, and they need to, particularly to overcome the fact that it is April, it's been terrible weather, and it is difficult to get out there and want to play baseball in this lousy weather. So I worry, and going back to your previous question about Adam Eaton, I think, or, you know, about players being injured, I think Adam Eaton and that spark plug being out of the lineup has really hurt as well. And so I think to answer your question, it's really hard to judge Davey Martinez this early, but I think that there's been a little bit more of a focus on small ball a little bit. I like they really do put a priority on trying to get a man to third with less than two outs and then trying to get that runner in. I mean, you've seen that a few times.
Isn't that refreshing in baseball? Isn't that refreshing to see a team that tries to like manufacture runs?
And this team's going to hit a lot of home runs, but mm-hmm. it's also, like you say, you know, getting the extra kind of cheap runs
mm-hmm.
here and there. And cheap may not be the right word, but just making sure that you capitalize
exactly.
on those opportunities. And that's what takes you from, you know, an 80-win team to maybe a 90-92 win team, is just getting those, you know, extra 50 to 75 runs a year, so particularly when it counts.
So, Ryan, real quick, you know, I'm personally a Baltimore Orioles fan, and I'm not going to talk about my team, but I want to talk about a player that does play, that used to play for my team, Matt Wieters. What are your thoughts on Matt Wieters?
Yeah. You know, it's been nice to see. Obviously, he had a real good weekend. He hit two really important home runs.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen a little bit more life out of him. Obviously, he spent the first, I don't know, 8 games or so in the DL.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there's been a little bit of, you know, sample size and this and that. I think he's going to benefit from playing with Pedro Severino, it looks like, going forward in a platoon. I think that'll hopefully keep him fresher. I'm also hoping that having a nice 23 or 24-year-old fiery kid will give him a little bit more of a fire under his butt as well.
Yeah, he needs that.
A little bit as well, just to push him. I think everybody needs that.
Yeah.
I don't want to say that in the wrong way, but you know, at your job, when there's somebody else there that's, you know, about as good as you are, it pushes you to be better. So I think that maybe he'll have the opportunity to capitalize a little bit more on the little bit fewer opportunities that he might have by being fresher and maybe being put in better opportunities.
I agree. So, hey, Ryan, before we let you go, again, thanks for joining us. How can our listeners check out your content?
Well, thank you for the spot. My site is natsgm.com online, and on Twitter I am natsgm.com, all spelled out. So kind of everything begins and ends there. I'm doing some scouting work that I can't completely share, but you'll also see some of that work later this summer, and I am writing on Fridays at massinsports.com as a guest blogger for them about the Nationals. So
I love that.
You can catch me over there as well. So
That's awesome. I love it. Well, Ron, thanks for being on, man. Thanks for being reliable. You're always reliable. Thank you.
Always, man. Hey, you know, anytime, if I'm willing to come on when the Nats, Caps, and Wiz are playing, you know I got your back anytime.
Oh, I appreciate you, Ron. You know I do.
Apparently, I got you more than Ray.
I know, right? All right, Ryan, you take it easy.
Just
oh, I know,
thank
but so, hey, so same here, Ryan. Again, that is my man, Ryan Sullivan from NatsGM.com. Great guy. Awesome guy. But I'm about to close this show out. Thank you all for listening, tuning in for me with me going solo. That, you know, it's tough, but still. I love having my unit and my squad here, but again, it was a pleasure doing the show. Anyway, you've been listening to the Urban Sports Saying for ages. You dig? Deuces. Hey, Mega, lead us out, big homie.